Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. A few weeks ago, we started a series called Forgiveness. And if you remembered in this series, what we've been talking about is that forgiveness is a debt-debtor relationship. And we owe somebody or somebody owes us something. And forgiveness comes in and it cancels that debt. It's a two-party transaction. In the scripture, it never talks about forgiveness in the sense of a one-party transaction. It links forgiveness to both of those. We said that followers of Jesus, forgiveness is always on the table. And so if somebody has wronged you, it's always on the table. Always. And we are both to be giving and receiving of forgiveness. In other words, if somebody wrongs us, and says they're sorry, we're to forgive them. And if we've wronged somebody else, we're to walk over toward that person and we're to apologize. We're to complete the transaction of forgiveness. We talked about, the next week, we talked about a question. Who do we owe? And this is in reference to guilt. And we walked through that. Who do you owe? Where do you need to do business within that? Last week, we talked about the question of who owes us. And how bitterness and anger can become a part of our lives and how we need to root that out of our hearts. Because Jesus says the problem with our hearts is that there are things going on. We often think of situations, we think of things externally are happening, that's what's bad. But Jesus says, no, it comes from the heart. There's something wrong with the root. He says, for out of our hearts comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are really what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. What is in your heart that needs to change in order for us to have really authentic relationships? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind. And the second of these is to love your neighbor as yourself. And remember, the sum of a person's life is the quality of his relationships with God and others. And what forgiveness does is it pushes into that and it helps us. We have a relationship with God because we're forgiven. We have a relationship to others as we walk through and forgiveness takes place. Today, I want to talk about a question of why them and not me? Why them and not me? It's a question of envy. When we think of envy, we often will put it in the category of, well, they have more money than I do, or they have a bigger house than I do. And we think about it like, well, they have a nicer car and I wish I had a nicer car. And we think of envy in those terms. And it's a question of why them and not me. But it might not come in one of those forms. Envy comes in many different colors. And it may come in the form of a car or a house or money. It could come in a form of a grade. It could come in form of, like, I should have got that internship and they got that internship. It could become in a form of a position. It could come in the form of a relationship. It could come in the form of a vacation, right? Like, they're taking these great vacations and we're not, type of a thing. Let me tell you about one that's happened to my wife and I really struggled in this season. Jenna and I, we're wanting to have kids, and we'd been trying to have kids for a while, and it wasn't happening. And so we went to the doctors, and they said, there's nothing wrong, keep trying. And so we continued to try, and each month we would wait with anticipation that this could be the month. But those months, they turned into years. And at the same time, I was a pastor of a church. There were many young couples. And what happens with young couples is they have children. And so it seemed like every other week, someone would be going, guess what, Pastor? We're pregnant! And I would go, oh, yay, good for you, right? But really in my heart, what was going on was, why them, not us? This took a long time. We do have four children now. At the time, it was taking a very, very long time, years. And so not only was I hearing, hey, we're pregnant, we're having a kid, congratulations, but I am going to the hospital, seeing the kid born. I was now actually dedicating these kids on stage. And this was difficult for my heart. Why them, not us. And during this time, I think one of the kind of the straws that broke the camel's back was I had a friend who, a good guy in some ways, had problems with addiction, never wanted to have kids, calls me on the phone, and he says, "Hey, dude, guess what? We're pregnant." And it took everything in me to muster up. Congratulations, man. That's awesome. Everything in me. Because what my heart was screaming is, why them, not us? Envy is a discontent, a longing for what others have. And envy is rooted in comparisons. It's rooted in the question of why them, not me. Let me show you how envy works. If you've been around me at all, you'll know that I am a huge fan of M&Ms, but not just M&Ms, peanut M&Ms. M&Ms are really actually just useless. I don't like those things. But peanut M&Ms, they're basically health food. And let me explain my reasoning behind this. There's chocolate, right? Antioxidant, keeps the diseases away. There's protein, starves the hunger off, right? Good, right? And there's fiber, keeps the colon rolling. Can I get any? These things are health food. They're a superfood. So let's say that out of my goodness and out of my generosity, I said, "Hey, I am going to share with you my M&Ms. I'm going to give you a fun size M&M." You would be like, "Wow, thanks. He cares about my colon. This is great. Here you go," right? And so you would get that and you would receive that. The next person in your row, though, I said, "You know, here you go." And I pull out this. And right now your face is like, like, well, why them and not me, right? But then I said, "Well, here you go," to the next person. And I went to the sharing size, right? And you're getting a little uncomfortable. Like, why does he like them so much more than me? And then finally, I pulled out the big bag that is complete with insulin shots in it. And I gave this to the next person. And what you would be doing is you'd be going like, "Hey, why'd you give it to them, right? Like, they're going to waste those. They don't deserve all those M&Ms. That's not okay." And because we are people who compare, right? We compare. And this is how envy works in our lives. You begin to look around and you start to see these people that have more M&Ms than you do. And you go, "Why? Why them and not me?" Remember, M&Ms come in all kinds of different categories. It's not just nice cars or nice houses or more money. It comes in the form of health. It comes in the form of M&Ms come in the form of talents, right? Like, I wish I could sing, but I got, like, this is too big for my abilities. It's people that have more influence in you. It's schedules, it's relationships, or lack thereof. It's vacations, it's opportunities, it's achievements, it's recognition. There are all kinds of things that we compare and then we get envious about and when they have more M&Ms than we do. We tend to get caught up in a myth about M&Ms. The myth about M&Ms is this, that if I just had more M&Ms, then my life would be better. I would have more self-worth, and I would experience more satisfaction, and I would experience more security, and I can't really experience it fully with my fun-size package of M&Ms. Here's the reality about M&Ms. One is that someone else is always going to have more M&Ms than you. Just is. It's just true. Someone else is always going to have more than you have. And then the second reality is your problem is not with the person who has all the M&Ms. Your problem, or my problem, is really with the person who is given the M&Ms. It lies with the giver. And so at the core of envy, it really says this statement, "God, you owe me. God, you owe me." The issue is not with the person that has, it's an issue with the giver. Back to our M&M scenario, you're not mad that you got a fun size. You'd be happy with your fun size if that's what everyone else got. You're mad that I gave somebody else the party size. The big deal about envy is it really destroys love. It is really hard to love somebody and care about somebody when you're envious of that person. It's really hard to be caring and sacrificing for them because you go, hey, they have more M&Ms than I do. Why are they, how do I do that? What does that look like? It's hard for me because really what I'm coming back to is that God loves them more than he loves me. And so why would I, how do I do this? How do I get this out of me? How do I actually love them? And it begins to tear down our relationships. It's the person that has, it gets a promotion over you, right? You, and here's the deal. Life's not fair, so get over it, right? They got the promotion. We talked about that last week. That's anger and bitterness. But part of it is what we do in our hearts is we sit and we wait and we go, hey, that person didn't deserve that. And when they begin to struggle, what do? We're sitting at the water cooler and we're going, I knew it. If that's you, you probably have some envy in your heart. It's when, you know, you were in high school and there was this guy. He was the man, right? He was the star quarterback. He had the girls. He had all of the stuff that you really desired and you really wanted. You go to your 20-year class reunion and you see this guy walk in. He looks very familiar to this guy that you knew, but he looks a little bit different. And he says hello to you and you realize it's the star quarterback. But he's gained 100 pounds and he's lost all his hair. And you go, isn't that a shame, right? Like, there's probably envy in your heart. It's probably there. When others are struggling secretly, you're happy. Guess what? You've lost the ability to love because you have let envy rest in your heart. The other way is it destroys love is your understanding of how much God loves you. Remember, the issue is ultimately it goes down to the giver, not the receiver, right? It's the one who has given them all of this stuff. And we're going to get to that in just a second. But the other thing that envy does is it really robs your ability to enjoy what you have. Envy robs your joy. So if I were to go and give every one of you this, you guys would be happy to have some delicious, delicious peanut M&Ms. But as soon as I bring out the 4-pound bag here and give it to someone, all of a sudden you go, hey, why them, not me? And so the issue isn't with what you have, it's that they have more than you. It's ultimately an issue of that you feel like you don't have enough or you should have more. And ultimately your heart begins to cry, well, God, why did you give me the fun size in talent or opportunity? You could have at least given me the sharing size. Like, why would you give those people that? They don't deserve that. They're just going to waste it. Envy is a big deal. It's actually in the Big Ten. It's in the Big Ten. In the Big Ten Commandments, it's in there, right? It says, do not covet your neighbor's ox, donkey, or wife. Why does God say it's much bigger than just don't be jealous? It's bad to be jealous. It's not, it's bigger than that. Why does God say that? Because it creates a barrier of us loving God and loving others. Why did God give them so many M&Ms? It becomes a question of that giver. It actually says, if God, and this is where it goes back to, it goes, God, if you would have just given me that many M&Ms, I would truly be satisfied. I truly be satisfied. It actually goes against the first commandment. The very first one is, do not have any other gods but me. And God isn't like this egomaniac where he's going, you know, I have to be the God. Like, he's does it for our own good, not for his ego. He doesn't need anything from us. He, in and of himself, is absolutely complete. And so why does he tell us to not have any other gods but him? It's for our good. And when you say that the M&Ms become the actually object of your worship, you believe that it's the thing that will satisfy you. Jesus supports this idea when he's talking that life is not really about how many M&Ms you have. In Luke chapter 6, he begins to talk about this idea of satisfaction and what will truly satisfy us. And he's looking at his disciples and he said, blessed are those who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man, because of him. And then he goes on and he has this statement to the people who are rich. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. And so what is he speaking into here? What is he trying to communicate here? He says, hey, the poor are blessed because why? Because they're dependent. They have nothing. They have nothing to go, hey, this is going to satisfy. They don't have enough M&Ms to satisfy. And then they all of a sudden realize that M&Ms aren't the thing that satisfies. It's actually God who satisfies. And the rich go, oh, I have all these M&Ms and they satisfy me. And they miss out on truly being fed. That's why they're hungry. Matthew 19, 23 through 25, Jesus is speaking. And he says, I tell you the truth. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, you know, with big eyes, who then can be saved? And really, they were nervous, like, who then can be saved? And Jesus goes on in that passage, and he says to them, he says, you know, you guys have given up your mother, your father, your worldly goods, and you come to follow me. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. So what are these passages? Is it wrong to be rich? If that is not the application here. If you are rich, great. But if you are rich and you say, my M&Ms are what give me security, what give me comfort, what satisfy me, that's a problem. And that's what Jesus is pushing up against. There are many people, few people in the Old Testament who were very rich. Abraham, that dude was loaded. He had a ton of cash. He had a ton of money. And yet he didn't trust that. He didn't try to just like, I'm going to protect my wealth. No, I'm not moving where you tell me to go, God. No. No, he went, right? Like even his own son, he was willing to sacrifice. David, he didn't do everything right, David. But and David was also, he wasn't always loaded, but he became loaded. He became the king. He was loaded. And what does the Bible say? He was a man after God's own heart. He understood that God is the one who satisfies. You have some women in the Old Testament or in the New Testament that are helping Paul. Loaded. Lydia, tons of cash. Tons of it. She had lots of money, but she didn't trust her money. She trusted God. The list is fairly short, though, and that's what I think Jesus is telling us in these passages, that it's hard to be rich. See, envy works off the principle that others have more M&Ms, why them, not me, but it also believes that and wants to trust that the more M&Ms, the more satisfaction, the more security, the more happiness. Billy Ray Cyrus, you guys know who that is? Achy Breaky Heart was his one big hit. You tracking with me a little bit here? Okay. Also, he was on a TV show for kids with his daughter called Hannah Montana, and that's where he actually made most of his money. And Hannah Montana was coming out, and it was becoming very popular, and they just kept pushing, they kept pushing, they kept making more M&Ms. And he made a lot of M&Ms off Hannah Montana. He was recently spoke to about that time, and the time of the success of Hannah Montana. And he said, the business was driving a wedge between us, him and his daughter. It destroyed my family, and I tell you right now, the darn show destroyed my family. And he goes on, and he admits that he wishes he never agreed to do the show. And he says this. He says, I take it back in a second for my family to be here and just for everyone to be okay, to be safe and sound and happy and normal. would be fantastic. Heck yeah, he said. I'd erase it all in a second if I could. Why? Because he put too much trust in the M&Ms. Jim Carrey says this. I hope everybody could get rich and famous. And while everything they ever dreamed of, so that they will know that it's not the answer. It's not the answer. We know from cross-national research that depression is more common, get this, more common in wealthy countries than in less wealthy countries, less industrialized countries. Why? Because we've put our trust in the M&Ms. France is the highest, 21% depression rate. Guess who's not too far behind? Good old United States of America at 19%. Mexico is on the low end, 8%. China coming up with the bottom at 5.5%. Why? Because we've put too much faith in our M&Ms. One of the great privileges that I've had, I used to be a youth pastor, and that was fun, good times. And then they told me I had to keep staying up all night, and I quit. And so that's why I do this now. But it was good times. I liked being a youth pastor. There's many fun excursions and things that we did. And one of the things that we'd always do is we'd go on mission trips, and we'd travel around, and we'd go from place to place. And we'd then come back to the church, and you would give some type of a report. And these are high school students and college students, and so I wanted to prep them because they were going to go up on stage, and I wanted to make sure that they had something a little prepared. And so I would ask them, you know, tell us about your the most fun that you had, the hardest day that you had, and what impacted you most. And so they would tell some type of funny story. They would tell us something that was a little bit hard. And then almost every one of them, every time, would say this. They would say, you know what? What impacted me the most is these people, they had nothing and they were happy and they were content, and I'm so thankful for what I have. Well, why? It was almost like they couldn't fathom in their heads that it's not about your M&Ms, so the piling or the stockpiling of your M&Ms that gives you satisfaction and joy. Well, what do we do with this? This need for M&Ms and the problem of us looking at other people's M&Ms. Remember, envy is based on this idea of a discontent heart. If I had that, then I'd be truly satisfied. Why them, not me? Ultimately, we are saying, God, you owe me. What does God actually owe you? What does he owe us? The answer to this question really is a worldview, and it really determines your perspective on life. And you might think that you should not experience suffering, or you should have a long life free of serious health problems, you know, be married, have children, have wealth, have a house, have a good job where you have respect and are appreciated. And all we have all kinds of expectations on life and what we think we should have. But what does God actually owe us? The Bible actually tells us. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What you've earned, what you deserve, what you've accumulated is death, but what God has given you, this is a great exchange rate. He's given you life in Christ. If you're going to rid yourself of envy, you're going to have to start asking that question. God, what do you owe me? You know, the next time envy starts to creep in, you start to look at someone else's stuff, what they have situationally or just monetarily. If you just said, God, you owe me, and fill in the blank, I think that would change your life. There's a very famous passage of scripture, one of the probably the top five quoted verses in the Bible. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we put it on our sports shoes, and you know, we say, hey, we're going to go out and score 30 points, and maybe you have a tattoo. If you do, don't be offended about what I'm about to say. And it's often used as a motivational verse, like I can do anything type of an idea. And it's a good verse, and it does have some roots in that. But the verse in its context is about contentment. It's not about scoring 30 points. It's about scoring 30 points or 2 points and understanding that it's still about Jesus. So Paul is talking to a church, and they had just given him some M&Ms. He had just received a gift of money from them. And he wants to thank them. He's like, hey, you know, I'm so appreciative. I'm so thankful for what you gave me. But I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that that gift is not what I'm putting my hope in. It's not what I'm saying, hey, this is now I'm satisfied. I want you to understand that, because this is the key to rooting envy, I think, really out of our hearts. I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for what you gave me. But I will say this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why does something need to be guarded? Because it's precious. Because there's dangers to it. And so he says, hey, you begin to pray, you begin to give thanksgiving. God, thanks for what you've given me. Here's what I feel like I need right now. God, help me through this. And it says that God will come along and he'll transcend our understanding of what we need or what we want or what we desire or what we envy in other people. And he will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and he says this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Why does he tell us that? Why is he telling this? What is he saying here? He's like, you've been given good gifts. There are things around you that are good. And you think about those things. Stop thinking about everyone else's M&Ms. Stop thinking about what they have over here. And start thinking about what is good, what is noble, what is pure. And the God of peace will be with you. He will enter in. Why is that important? Why is that important? It's because he's the one who actually satisfies. It's not the amount of your M&Ms. And then he goes on, and he says this. He goes on, and he says, I know, this is verse 12, what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or in want. And here's the verse that we put on our tennis shoes. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Being discontent in this passage of scripture is not just for people who have little, it's also for people who have much. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. The Lord is the source of comfort. He's the source of satisfaction. And that's what Paul has realized. That's what he's understood. That's why he can have plenty or he can have a little. It doesn't really matter. He realized that we pursue all kinds of different comforts in this world. We pursue these things that we want or we believe God owes us. But it will never fill the God-sized hole that we have. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're Jenny from the block or Jenny with the rocks. It's still about Jesus. It's still about God filling us. Some of you understood what I just said. You're designed to have a thirst. You have a thirst. You have a God-sized thirst. And it's not going to be satisfied by your M&Ms. It's not going to be. It's only quenched by. That's why Jesus said this. Like, he says, you know, come to me and you will never thirst. Like, we're thirsty people. Like, drink from me. Drink from who I am, he says. And you're going to have satisfaction. You're going to have this contentment. Part of understanding this is understanding how much God has lavished his love on us through Jesus. That he is the one who is with you, whether it's a good time or a bad time. It's understanding that we're absolutely dependent upon him. That's why the poor, they understand that differently. There's a dependence on them. And the rich, he says, hey, it's hard for you to get into the kingdom because you don't understand. You think it's your eminent. No. When you're in a dire situation, the health is failing, the house is going to foreclosure, the marriage is breaking up, the position you deserve went to someone else, and life is not fair. Here's what God wants you to know, that he loves you and he is for you and he will fill you. And he's the only one. He's the ultimate M&M. He's the one who produces peace as you lean into him. If you are rich, if people are rich, and at some level, we're in America, and so at some level, we're all rich. We have a tendency to forget about God. We have a tendency to be dependent upon our M&Ms. The Proverbs actually say it, and they talk about this. And he's speaking, and he says, God, you just give me my daily bread. Because if you give me more than that, and this is a Levi paraphrase, you give me more than that, I'm going to forget about you. Because it's easy when we have an abundance to forget about God. That he's the one who truly satisfies. M&Ms will never quench your thirst. They'll never quench your thirst. It's only God. Envy is based in the question, why them and not me? That question is based on our heart that believes that God owes us. It's hard to love God when we think he needs to pay up. It's hard to love someone else when you think God loves them more than you because they have more M&Ms or they have the M&M that you actually want, the color of M&M you want. Envy is a problem in our hearts. How free would we be if we didn't believe that God owed us something? How free would we be if we didn't believe that M&Ms were going to satisfy us? Real quick, I want to give you a couple of things to war against our desire to compare our pile of M&Ms to someone else's M&Ms. The next time you feel envy coming into your heart in this week, you see something or you feel that coming in and you go, I wish I had that. If I had that, I would be satisfied. I deserve that. Why them, not me? All those things that flood through us. Go, God, you owe me, and fill in the blank. It'll change you. It'll change you when you start doing that. And you start going, well, God, what do I have? You start asking that next question. What do I have? And you start seeing the good things, the noble and the pure and the things that are around us. It will change you. It'll change. It'll start to root that out of us. What if you started to pray? This is number two. God, I realize that all good gifts come from you. I realize all good gifts come from you. Even, like, think about this. Even the very breath that you breathe in and breathe out right now is borrowed from God. It's a gift from him. I don't own all these M&Ms. I'm only a manager. How do you want me to use my M&Ms? What if you started to ask that question? This doesn't matter if you have the fun size or the sharing size or the party pack or the regular size. It doesn't matter. But if you started to ask that question, God, I'm a manager of these. What do you want me to do with them? If you start to ask that question, it's a heart that starts to realize that God is the one who satisfies. He's the one who brings security. He's the one who brings comfort. He's the one who quenches our thirst. You know, we take an offering here, and we're not scared to talk about money here because Jesus talks about it more than he talks about heaven and hell combined. And why do we take an offering here? It's not because God needs your money or my money. Shoot. Like, remember when he had to pay taxes? He's like, hey, there's a fish out there. Go grab the fish. And when the fish comes out, there's a coin in its mouth. And that's how he paid the taxes, right? Like, God doesn't need our money. He can get money any way he wants. He has the cattle on 10,000. He doesn't need your money. I believe that God uses his people to fund the things of him. But he doesn't need your money. When you are actively giving in that sense, what are you saying? God, I am not trusting in my M&Ms. I trust in you. Is tithing and giving hard? Yes. But it's an act of worship. God, I trust you. I trust you. And so we'll often say we're going to worship God as we take this offering. And you might go, well, you just want money. No. It's an active way of worshiping. It's a way of going, God, I want to fund the things that you're into. It's also a way of going, God, my heart is not going to hold on to satisfaction that comes, that I believe will come from my M&Ms. For some of us here today, we need to ask God for forgiveness this week. Envy is rooted in our hearts and it's there. And we have missed all that he's lavished upon us, all that he's given. Even if you have nothing, you know what he has given you? He has given you the cross, and that is plenty. That is enough. Remember what we deserve. We all deserve. We all deserve death, and what Jesus gave us is the cross. What God gave us is his son to die on a cross for you and I. If you start to think in those terms and go, God, I'm sorry. God, help me to see what is good and noble and pure. You know what? He will show up and the Spirit will show you. Some of us need to ask for forgiveness because we do this. We have way too much trust in our M&Ms. God is the ultimate M&M. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We humbly just say, God, we do this at times. We confess openly before your throne. I know I do it at times. God, if I just had this, then I'd be satisfied. And I put things or places or positions or something else that only you can satisfy in your place. And I'm sorry. God, I ask that this week as we walk through this week and we see it and maybe we don't even know it's there, that your Spirit would just start to reveal that. It would start to root it out of our hearts, God. God, we want to be people who are free in you, free from envy, totally satisfied by you. God, we pray and are so thankful for your Son who died on a cross for us, and we lift his name up high, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.